How's that?
Okay.
You know, this afternoon, and I had to tell Ken when he got here, I needed to do a few extra squats and loosen up my legs because he set the bar so high this morning with his lesson. But I do appreciate it. That was a wonderful lesson. Asked how that congregation is doing, and it looks like they are still striving to do even greater things for the Lord. So that's wonderful, and I was happy to hear that. I want to thank the leadership for giving me an opportunity to speak. You know, it's a blessing that we have at this congregation to have so many capable people to speak. We recognize that there are so many different personalities and so many different things come out, and everyone's able to present in their own way, but it's a blessing that we even have those who are willing to stand in the gap and speak to God's people concerning His will in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It reads, "Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, there are some things that really get me, things that weigh on me every single time they come up. You know, things like the mortgage, you know, that's a weight. You know, the lack of exercise, you know, I know what I want to do, and then I know what I actually do, and it just kind of weighs on me. In fact, the lack of exercise is why I have so much weight right now. And then just sort of general issues that exist in so many of our lives that can really weigh upon us. You know, and then there's that sin. I was sharing with our class this morning that whenever it presents itself, it seems to always have that level of success. It says in that verse, the sin that so easily besets us. You know, in other words, it may not be, you know, that big sin that we like to talk about, you know, whether it's with drinking or lying or promiscuity or whatever those things are. Now, it's funny because we know that God doesn't see big sin, little sin. But it may be related to the issues we so often have. So in other words, it may not come up in the same form every time. You know, perhaps it's the sin of being lukewarm toward God's word, and it manifests itself in different ways. You know, not studying like I should, not sharing the gospel like I could, you know, being indifferent or not wanting to sort of make waves when confronted with today's issues with a group of non-Christians that are around you. Perhaps it's that sin of procrastination where you have a desire but not the determination and the action. Sins that so easily beset us. You know, when we start to say things like, I know I need to start working out, and I will someday. Or I know I need to manage my finances better, and I will eventually get to it. You know, I need to do the things of God starting tomorrow. That can be a sin of procrastination that often can get to us. And if it sounds like, you know, if it sounds like you or someone you know, or someone you know that says it sounds just like you, this is nothing new. This is not a surprise. This is not something that has come up recently. Throughout the Old and the New Testament, we see examples of people involved in the same acts that get them into trouble, only to be spared, and then they go right back to doing the same things again. You know, God's people were told that if they will be His people, He will be their God. But if they turned from Him, you know, there would be some problems. You know, the funny thing about the people of God, the children of God in the Old Testament, was that they had enough confidence, or I would like to say arrogance, to say they trusted God, but when they went against Him, they were the same ones who were so quick to be disappointed when things just didn't go their way. So after a series of misadventures and surprises, according to them, misfortunes, when they strayed from God's word, God allowed them to be taken into Babylonian captivity. And this is where we're going to take our lesson from today. Jeremiah chapter 29, if you turn over there, we're going to start at verse 7. He sends a message to the children. Jeremiah chapter 29. Verse 7, beginning at verse 7, it reads, "And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in your midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye have caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, I have not sent them, saith the Lord." Verse 10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place." And then verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God had a plan for them. He saw what they couldn't see. And for those of you who may be taking notes and you need a topic for it, for tonight's lesson, is you can't see what I can see. You can't see what I can see. God saw what they couldn't see. He knew what they couldn't even fathom. What people could not possibly understand, God made perfectly and completely clear that it was for their benefit. This sounds familiar. Romans 8:28, familiar. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." You know, understand, the children at this time, the children of God, couldn't see their way out of captivity. But that wasn't a prerequisite for God having a way. The children of God could not see how they could possibly have peace in a city that had taken them captive, but God didn't have to wait for them to see it. Isaiah 55, familiar verse, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, if God's children needed full understanding of God's thoughts and ways in order for us to be faithful and trust in him, we wouldn't make it. We had to wait. If God had to wait for us to fully understand him before he did anything, we would never make it. So what did God tell them? Verse 7, it says, "Seek peace." Specifically, seek the peace for the city, for those who held them captive, and pray for it. You know, in sort of text speaks, that's one of those SMH moments, right? Shaking my head. I can't understand that. That doesn't make any sense for me to pray for the peace of those who are actually taking me captive. But God let them know, you're going to be here for a while. In fact, if you look back at verses 5 and 6, he talks about building houses, taking spouses, taking husbands, taking their wives, and men taking wives, having children, and then having spouses given unto the children. So they were going to be there a while. It was not going to be a temporary arrangement. They also were learning patience. They learned that it was going to be a while, and they had to learn patience to wait on God. Now, in a situation like this, it would not be uncommon to find opportunities to make things as miserable as possible for the people who are doing you wrong. Don't we do that sometimes? Okay, if you're going to do this to me, I'm not going to make it easy for you. I'm going to make it as difficult as I possibly can for you. Now, God says, don't do that. He's telling the children of Israel, don't do that. Look for peace for this land. Now, that may sound familiar to all of us. Matthew 5:44, Jesus himself says, love your enemies. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. You know, it's funny that he had to add that second part in there, bless and curse not, because sometimes we can have a tendency of kind of throwing out one little thing, bless his heart, and usually that comes right before what? That negative thing you're about to say about him. You know, I remember one coach of mine, bless his heart, he's as dumb as a box of rocks. You know, kind of mixing in that bless him, but then also curse him in words. We have to be careful. We bless and curse not. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And then further down in that, we see in verse 12, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. In other words, if you want a blessing, be a blessing. We cannot go around expecting a blessing when all we're doing is cursing others. Back in Jeremiah 29:7, he says, if you seek peace, you will have peace. Okay, so the first thing that he wanted the children of Israel to do, and the first thing that we need to learn about this is that we need to seek peace. Second, do not be deceived. You know, there were prophets who tried to comfort the people by telling them they were of God, and God came and they told them, there's going to be a speedy restoration. Yeah, we're being held captive now, but it's not going to be long. It's going to be pretty quick. We're going to be able to get out of this very soon. That sounds pretty good, right? You know, there was only one problem. God never said that. God never made such a claim. The people were looking for any positives out of that situation, and there were some who came up and said, don't worry, we're not going to be here very long. It's going to be quick. They clung to that. We know they clung to it because it says they even started dreaming about it. That message got through to their subconscious where they're now dreaming about this speedy restoration. But God had already told them, you're going to be there for a while. It's interesting because that's what they wanted to hear. Isn't that amazing what we choose to hear? You know, my mom used to tell me several times, boy, because that was my name when I was growing up, at least so I thought, boy, you need to take the trash out. And over again. And actually, usually what happens, because I was the youngest of so many, it was always everybody else's name first, and then finally, boy. Boy, I tell you again, take the trash out. And for some reason, I wouldn't hear that. But let her say, we're going out for ice cream. And my shoes are on. My coat is on. Knowing that we weren't really going, right, because we were broke, so we weren't going to be able to afford ice cream anyway for a whole family. But it didn't matter because I chose to hear that and I was ready for that. But of course, as soon as I got there, it's, you know, now that you have your shoes and your coat on, take out the trash. Right? It's amazing what we choose to actually hear. And the people of Israel at this time, the children, they chose to hear what these so-called prophets, ones that were not sent from God, chose to say to them because that's what their desire was. We're going to touch on that in a second. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Why? But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Now at that point, while I was reading that, everybody in the 11th and 12th grade class should have been repeating that afterwards because you all heard it this morning, right? So you all should have been saying it right with me. We cannot allow our desires to turn us away from God's word. We have to be patient in him and trust him over all others, regardless of the direction it appears to be sending us. You know, a lot of times we go in the direction that God sends us and we say, why are we going this way? It doesn't seem to make sense. I would much rather go that way. It looks a lot easier. It's a lot smoother. It's better on my tires. You know, I need to go that direction. But God is sending us here. Are we going to follow God, or are we going to follow our own desires? Again, you can't see what I can see. So not only do we seek peace, do not be deceived, but we have to know that He knows. You know, most of the time when we rebel, it's because there's some level of doubt that we have toward the things that we've heard, or just a false sense that we may actually know better and get the outcome that we want that's different than what we were told. Example, you know, a lot of times our mom and dad may say something, and we make up in our minds that, yep, I hear what you're saying. I know those consequences. I know everything you've told me. But I just have a feeling that if I try it a little bit differently, I can still get the results that I want. That usually doesn't come because we fully trust everything that's being told to us. So we never will go out to our parents, or go up to our parents, at least more than once if you have a parent like mine. You'll never go up to and say, listen, Mom, I know exactly what you're saying, and I truly, fully trust exactly what you're saying, and I know the consequences are going to come that if I don't do it that way, but I actually prefer those consequences. We wouldn't do that, would we? Would we actually just say, I actually want to suffer through all of that because that's the best thing for me? There has to be some level of doubt about what we're being told that's going to cause us to go away from what we're hearing. With God, sometimes it's the same thing. We may actually have some doubt that what God is saying is really true, or that we can actually accomplish what we want to accomplish even if we go against it, if we tweak it just a little bit. When we rebel, we've convinced ourselves that we know better, better than our parents, better than those who have our best interests in mind, better than God even. But God says to His children, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, break that down a little bit. When He says expected end, you know, there's an implied and in there. You know, there's an end, and it's an expected end. It's a desired end as well. Okay, God has a desired end for each and every one of us. He has a great ending plan. So let's think about that. He tells the children of Israel, yes, you're being held captive, but I need you to do something while you're in the midst of all these trials. You know, this morning we talked about being in the midst of storms. What are we supposed to do while we're in the storm? It's great to prepare for the storm. It's great to look back and see that God got us through the storm. What about when we're in it? What about when we're right in the middle of it? We're not waiting for that mile-wide tornado to come, but we're those six kids inside, and the tornado is right there with us. Spiritually, what happens when we're in the midst of those storms? Do we seek peace? You know, even in this upside-down world that we live in today, we need to seek peace and pray for it. I appreciated the prayer a few moments ago. You know, we should be praying for the land that we live in. Now, it's very easy for us to look at our local officials and our national officials, all those around, and criticize and show our hatred for it, even turn against it. If they're going to go left, I'm going to go right simply because they're going left. It's very easy for us to do that. But are we seeking peace? Because the Bible already lets us know that if we seek peace, we'll have peace. The opposite is also true. If we seek conflict, if we seek war, if we seek turmoil, guess what we're going to find? We're going to find war. We're going to find turmoil. We're going to find all kinds of problems. We can't expect peace when we're giving all of the nonsense that we're giving. Very simply put, as my mom used to always say, you can't plant apple trees and get plums, right? You can't plant apple seeds and get plums. We had a lot of apples and plums in Seattle. That's why she always used that example. So I actually prefer plums, so I'm going to go with the plums anyway. So do we speak peace? We as Christians must learn to lean on God's word, even in the midst of our storms. Even in the midst of all these things that are going on around us, all the philosophies, all the humanistic words that are being spoken today, we need to speak peace and pray for peace in our society today. We can't be deceived. There are a lot of, you know, they like to call them new philosophies, new revelations. You know, as I was thinking, for the first time it occurred to me and no one else that this must be true. There are all these new philosophies out there, but we can't be deceived by them simply because it's new. You know, we like new things. You know, we like new cars, that new car smell, right? But we can't be deceived by the new things, the new philosophies, the new wisdoms of today, because it just sounds so good. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, acknowledge God, and he will direct thy path. We also learn in Proverbs 14 and 12, there's a way that seems right unto man. There's a way that seems right. These new things, they just seem to make a whole lot of sense. But that's not where it ends. It ends in death. We're talking spiritual death. You know, the path sometimes may seem rocky if we decide to go in a direction that seems uncomfortable, to go in the direction that God would have us to go in and not the way that seems right according to the world today. But God already sees the end. Again, you can't see what I can see. Will we focus on the things around us or will we focus on the end? One of the stories I really, accounts that I really enjoy reading about in the Bible was when Jesus was walking on the water. If you recall, Jesus was walking on water. It wasn't like a smooth surface of water. He was walking on the water, and the disciples see, and they first they think it's a ghost. They get scared. They realize Jesus says, you know, don't be afraid, it's me. And an interesting thing happened. Peter was always the first to speak up. You know, he was always that excited one. He loved to try to do things for God. He's always the same one who's messing up too. You know, but Peter goes out and he says, if it's you, Lord, let me come to you. Jesus said, come on. Now, it's one thing for us to see that or hear that from Jesus himself. It's another thing to say, well, since you were already coming, I'm going to let you finish, versus what Peter did. Peter jumped out the boat. I know we probably have some strong swimmers in here. I'm not a very strong swimmer. If Jesus said, come out, I'm thinking twice. Peter jumps out the boat, and he never sinks. It says he started walking on the water. Okay? And I was really impressed by this because there's a lot of things that we can say that we'll do for God. But what happens when God says, all right, come on. God, I'll do anything for you. Okay, do this. Well, see, what happened was when we make a commitment to God and he says, all right, I want you to follow through on that commitment, are we willing to do it? Even if it seems irrational, are we willing to get out of the boat? That's a different lesson, though. But are we willing to get out of the boat? Now, Peter got out of the boat. He started walking on water. Why was that the case? Because he saw the end. He saw Christ. And as long as his focus was on Christ, he was successfully doing what no one else except for Christ had been able to do. He was walking on water. Now, God is capable of doing that, and he's capable of allowing our faith to lead us that far. But you know, in the Old Testament, they were faced with some water too. God had to move the water out of the way. So they walk across on dry land. He said to Peter, I'm not going to move the water. It's storming, it's raging, the waves are going up and down. I'm not going to move the water. Just come on. And Peter got out and he walked toward him because he saw the end. It wasn't until he started looking around him. This doesn't seem to fit. There's wind blowing. The waters are raging. The waves are going up and down. And since I'm standing on the water, chances are Peter was kind of moving up and down, right? Something's not right here. And when he took his eyes off the end, it says he began to sink. That's a great story for us. Think about all the things that we look around and say, I don't know how in the world I could accomplish that. That doesn't seem to make sense. But when we keep our eyes on the end, which is Christ Jesus, we know that we can walk on water. So don't be deceived by the things that are going on around you. Don't think that those things that are around you can actually stop you from reaching your desired end, because God already has an expected end for you. Don't be deceived. And know that he knows. You know, as I was often told, and I often share, probably to the dismay of my children and now even the youth group, your future is my past. We often say that as parents because we recognize that everything that they are going through, everything that they're about to go through, that they haven't even seen yet, we've already been there. We've already seen it. We see what they can't see. But everything that we've gone through, everything that we will go through, God sees it right now. He doesn't have to go through it with us. He already sees it. God sees what we can see. How many of you just, I know we don't normally, you know, do a show of hands, but how many of you have never been to Seattle? Never been to Seattle, Washington? Okay. I was born and raised in Seattle, Washington. Okay. There's a really good restaurant that I know of. If you ever go, I'll let you know where it is, how to get there. But in order to go, you have to go down the street. And the street is not a place you want to run out of gas. You understand that one? Right? You want to have a full tank going through this part of the city and going down the street. Okay? It's going to look like a dead end. All right? You kind of go up this road, and it looks almost like an alley, but it's not. But when you get to the other side, you'll see the restaurant, and it has some of the best food you can think of. I love this place. In fact, we didn't go the last few times we were there, but I'll have to make it a point next time we go to do that. Now, I was born and raised there, and I can tell you exactly how to get there. It may not be ideal driving, but the end, you're going to really be glad that you went. For those of you who raised your hand and say you've never been there, and you're sitting next to somebody who said that, would you trust that person who raised their hand and said they've never been there to give you directions to that restaurant? Probably not. Or would you trust someone who was born and raised there, been there, done that, have even tasted the food to get you where you need to go? Now think about that spiritually. We will trust the person who's never been to heaven, who knows nothing about God, on how to get through certain situations rather than the Bible. We have to know that God knows what's right. Even when it doesn't seem right, even when it is a rocky road, even if it looks like the bad side of town, God knows. He's already seen the end. He's there waiting for you. He said, I made my reservations. In fact, Jesus said, I go, right, John chapter 14, if it's not there, somewhere else, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus himself has already said that. He's already going. He was there. He's going back. He said, I'm going, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto where, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has already been there. Do you trust that he knows how to direct you there too? He knows. He knows. The question is, do you know that he knows? Do you trust that he knows? Will you seek peace? Will you not be deceived by this world's philosophies, this world's wisdom? You know, we spoke this morning talking about the wisdom of this world. It's foolishness with God. If you've been through life wondering where it's leading you, if you find yourself already caught up in that storm, not on your way into it, not just coming out of it, but in it, the question I have for you tonight is, will you stop? Will you stop and decide that you want to follow God rather than follow the wisdom of this world? Will you seek peace? Will you not allow the world to deceive you? Will you trust that God knows what you may not know, what you may not understand? You know, we have so many opportunities to see how God works in our life, and we can either ignore it or we can listen to it. Is it okay for me to come down here? Okay, good. We need to develop a relationship with God so that we understand that He's going to guide us regardless of how it looks, regardless of the situation, regardless of the things that we're going through at the moment. And they may seem bad. You know, we heard some prayer requests this morning, and we want to continue to pray for our brothers and our sisters. It may seem bad at the time, but God has an expected end for each and every one of us. He knows. He sees what we can't see. Our job is not always to see those things. It's to have faith in Him. Without faith, it's impossible. There are some things that are very unlikely to happen, but they could happen. It's impossible without faith to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He exists, that He is God Almighty, the one and only God, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do we have that kind of faith? Do we have that level of belief? Are we willing to say, God, I know how I have been going, and the way I've seen just seemed right to me, but since You say I need to go another way, I'm going to go that way. I'm going to turn from the way I had been going. I'm going to follow the way You want me to go. Are we willing to turn? Are we willing to repent? Are we willing to say that, God, there are a lot of other things out there, but I know if I want to go to heaven, Jesus said Himself, John 14:6, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. That I need to follow Christ. I need to confess Him with my mouth. I need to confess Him with my life that Jesus is Lord. Matthew 10:32. He who confesses me before my Father in heaven, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. God, I'm going to confess You. I'm going to confess Your Son because I recognize that He is the way to You. And I'm willing to show that. I'm willing to show and complete my obedience through the water we gave of baptism. For I know that if I repent and I'm baptized, Acts 2:38, for the remission of my sins, I'll be saved. That I'll be a new creature. Right? I'm doing it as a answer with a good conscience, 1 Peter 3:21. Not putting away the filth of the flesh. Right? If I follow this, then I can, in my storms, have someone that I can lean on. When I get through the storms, I can look back and say, that was my God that got me through. You may be here tonight, and you may have some of these concerns. You may be going through a storm. You may recognize that you're going through a storm all by yourself. You can have someone go with you. Not me. I can only go so far with you. But Jesus can go with you all the way. But you got to put Him on. You do that hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. But you may be going through a storm as a Christian. And you may need to find a way to seek that peace. The peace that passes all understanding. That only comes with your faith in Christ. You may find yourself questioning, being in doubt, because the world is trying to deceive you. Christ is the answer for that. He's going to help you stay on the straight and narrow. But you have to know that He knows. If you find yourself in any of these categories, whether you need Christ, you need prayer to help you through these storms, or you need prayers for any other reason, I encourage you, I beg you to come as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Where is your heart, O pilgrim? What does your light reveal? Who is your call for comfort when not but sorrow you feel? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Who knows your disappointments? Who hears each time you cry? Understands your heartaches? Who dries the tears from your eyes? Do you know?